You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Vernon Meyer from Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor Meyer.
Good morning.
Great to have you as our guest today. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you. Please share with us about your congregations, Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri.
Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage is near Lake Pomme de Terre, and we have services at 10:30 every Sunday, and we're a dual parish with Our Savior Buffalo, which has services at 8:30.
Very good. The congregations, have they been there a while?
Yes, both congregations have been there a while.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there sharing the good news of Jesus and delivering God's good gifts in word and sacrament at Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. Today we are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 24. Pastor Meyer, what would you like for us to know about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 as we prepare to study today?
Well, from my research, St. Paul is addressing certain problems that exist in the Corinthian congregation, and so some of what he says doesn't apply to all Christians, but specifically to the Corinthian Christians. And the context is questions regarding marriage and the like.
All right, very good. We are studying 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 24. Let's take a look. Let's dig into the text today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. All right, so here we have a letter, God's Word, about marriage. Concerning the matters which you wrote, about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Well, that sounds like an interesting opening.
Yes, this is actually the third part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians. Apparently, the Corinthians had written him a letter with questions, and now Paul is addressing those questions regarding marriage. He's writing to the Corinthian Christians, mm-hmm. who were surrounded by pagan extremes, and Paul does not go against that. It is not good for a man to be alone. He doesn't go against the Bible saying that when he says it is kalos, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. He's talking about kalos, meaning morally excellent, the ideal. It would be ideal in the Corinthians' case for a man not to touch a woman. But because of sexual immoralities, he says, let each himself have his own wife and each her own husband. So Paul is being practical here, as he always is a practical man. Because of sexual immoralities, he prescribes marriage. Of course, that doesn't go against what Scripture says about marriage being a holy estate instituted by God. And then verse 3, to the wife, the Greek reads, the husband ought to give. Now likewise also the wife to the husband. So marriage is an equality. The wife is submissive to the husband. The husband serves the wife. Martin Luther always referred to his wife Katie as his Lord, in deference to her being a gift from God. And that's how husband and wife ought to see one another, is as gifts from God to each other. The woman does not have mastery over her own body, but the husband. Likewise, now also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife.
So that's very countercultural to what we live in today. We live in a very individualistic society that it's my body, it's my choice, it's mine. No one else has control over it.
Right. That's what struck me as I read that. Especially in the Greek, it's very clear that the husband's body belongs to the wife and the wife's body belongs to the husband. And that's the way that God intended it, for a man to have a wife and for every woman to have a husband.
Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. These Corinthians, were they much different than any of us today, lacking in self-control?
No, indeed not. We all lack self-control, and that's why marriage is a blessed estate for us, because of temptations to sexual immoralities. We're not immune to sin. We're not immune to things that lure us into sexual sin, any more than the Corinthians were immune to such things.
So we're not immune to sin. And here the Corinthians are taught, thus likewise us, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of control, of self-control.
Deprive one another means do not withhold sex from one another. That doesn't mean that in the case of forced sex
So this, what he's saying, what I understand this to be, is that marriage is about this union, and neglecting that union can lead the sinful self to temptation, and that Satan certainly may tempt one who is, who's separated themselves from that union. And so...
Exactly.
That the marriage is about this union and to maintain that union. Verse 6, now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So, as a concession, not a command, I say, I wish all were as I myself am. And I assume here, I don't know, my assumption that Paul is saying, as he goes on in verse 8, unmarried and widows to remain single.
he's saying that he has mastery over his sexual urges, and that, you know, he wishes everybody did, but he's not saying that celibacy is some form of holiness that is higher than marriage. He's not saying that. He says each man has different gifts from God, and though Paul is free to always marry if he desires or needs to do so at the time and for Paul's life, he never did marry.
He says this as a concession, not as a command.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, a concession is an agreement to meet someone halfway. And he's saying it's not something that's written in stone, but he's saying that it's something that he permits as an apostle of Christ.
So it's a concession, not a command. Verse 10, to the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. What are the instructions here to the married?
The instructions to the married are that there should be no divorce. It's a union that people enter into when they marry. The two become one flesh, and so there should be no separation, no divorce, no breaking of that union. Now, just as an aside, my own opinion, in the case of abuse, that seems to be a breaking of the union too. And if the abuser can't find help or will not get help, then he has broken the union.
Anything else up through verse 11, Pastor?
Well, there's always the hope of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always desirable. The children of divorce especially desire reconciliation of the man and wife. But if they cannot be reconciled, then they should not remarry.
Verse 12, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? So, to the unmarried and the widow he speaks, to the married he speaks, to the rest I say. Well, who are the rest?
The rest are those in mixed marriages. Paul does not say that a mixed marriage is bad or wrong. In fact, he says that it can be beneficial to the unbelieving spouse, that the unbelieving spouse is entering into a Christian marriage and is under the influence of the gospel and can emerge a believer as a result, and the children are not automatically corrupted by the unbelieving spouse, but are positively affected by the believing spouse.
If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him, for the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. What do we learn here, Pastor?
Well, we learn that the gospel has a powerful influence on the unbelieving, and we never know what might happen if the children might emerge believers too.
But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? How do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?
Exactly. You know, Paul is saying, in the case of an unbelieving spouse wanting to leave the marriage, the brother or sister in Christ is not enslaved to anything and can permit that person to leave if he so wishes.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Vernon Meyer from Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage, Missouri, and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Vernon Meyer from Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage, Missouri, and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 today. Pastor, anything else up through verse 16 before we go on to the next section? Anything else you wanted to share?
Just that both marriage and celibacy are holy. And Paul does not contradict that in anything he says.
All right, let's take a look at verses 17 and following. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he was free when called, is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. All right, let's take a look more closely at verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. How does one know what life the Lord has assigned to him?
Well, the life the Lord has assigned to him is first and foremost, the gospel call that we all have as Christians, that we are under the gospel, that we are under grace, that we are not under obligation, but we are under his gift of Christ. And so first and foremost, that's what we know. We also know, according to our vocation or our station in life, that all vocations and stations in life are holy to God, and that we have been assigned our places in life, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have other plans for us either.
So the vocations, the stations where we are, or the gifts and talents we have, the wherever we are, the gifts and talents we have, those are indicators of the life that the Lord has assigned to us. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. This talk of circumcision, why is this so important, especially with to the Corinthians?
Well, for instance, the Jewish Christians tried to disguise their circumcision so that they would blend in with the Greeks. That was one thing going on. People don't need to be circumcised or uncircumcised anymore because that covenant has been passed on. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament covenants for us.
So neither seek to remove the marks of circumcision nor seek circumcision, because it doesn't count for anything but keeping the commandments of God.
Right. But keeping the commands of God is important, and we can only keep them imperfectly, but we have the gospel that tells us that Jesus did them perfectly for us and attributes them to us, charges them to us in his grace and mercy toward the sinner. So we strive to keep the commandments of God because they are all about love and the right exercise of love for neighbor and love toward God.
Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. So remain in the condition in which you were when you were called.
Right. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what condition we were in. In fact, the Greek says, let each in the call in which he was called remain in this. And again, the call is ultimately the gospel call that makes us Christians, that gives us peace and grace in Christ. And so that's what we rely upon, is that we have this call, all of us, in Christ Jesus.
For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freed man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God.
An interesting thing in the Greek is where you call the slave, don't worry about it, but it's also you're able to become free. It has the word malon, which means more, and then the verb means to make use of. I wonder if we can render that as more power to you. Or you can make yourself available to serve the Lord as a freedman.
For he who is called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who is free when called is a bondservant of Christ.
And that's a perfect kind of bondage to be in, isn't it? Bondage to Christ, bondage to his good news, bondage to his gifts.
You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. What was the price with which you were bought?
Right, and we all know what price that was, the price of the cross, the price of Christ suffering hell itself so that we could have heaven itself. That was the ultimate price, and our Lord paid it, and only he could pay it. So you were bought for a price. Do not become slaves of men. Men tell us that we have to do something to save ourselves. Men come up with laws that contradict the laws of God. And we do not need to be susceptible to the foolishness of men that says that we can do something to have God or save ourselves.
So then, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God.
Yes, whenever we look at our state in life, the good news is that we are with God, that we remain with him, that he is our Father, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whom we know only through Christ, only through Jesus, who has paid the price for us.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, is there anything else you'd like for us to learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 7?
Oh, there are many things. Concerning the buying of freedom, there were many slaves in the Corinthian church. They could buy their freedom in three main ways. The master's will in death, the master's generosity, and by depositing money in a pagan god's temple. Of course, the Corinthian Christian slaves wouldn't use that avenue, but that was another avenue that ancient slaves used in order to buy their freedom. And even though Christianity has never come out against slavery itself, it's always allowed and welcomed the buying of freedom. Of course, in America, slavery became a state in which men couldn't normally buy their freedom, and so it became intolerable. But in the ancient world, they could always buy their freedom eventually.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Vernon Meyer from Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage, Missouri, and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. Pastor Meyer, thank you for being our guest pastor and helping us study the text today.
You're very welcome.
God bless you, And God bless you and all the saints at Hope Lutheran Church in Hermitage and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Missouri. Coming up next, we have more His Time to help start your day. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.